the great Danny Gokey singing a song about hope, a man who lost his spouse and still found hope in his life. You know, it's fitting that today in the Advent of Hope we talk about this. As we stated earlier, today marks the first Sunday of Advent, and we know that the word Advent means arrival, it means appearing, and it also means coming. The first Sunday of Advent is representative of a word that everybody wants and few people actually have, and that word, as you probably would have guessed, is hope. The arrival of hope. Well, today, folks, we celebrate that arrival. You see, when we talk about the advent of hope, we are anticipating the arrival, we're anticipating the appearing, we're anticipating the coming of hope that we all long for. Now, I think we use the word hope a lot. As a matter of fact, if you think about it, sometimes we don't, sometimes we do. But if you think about the word hope, we use it in everyday dialogue. It comes out a lot. We share it a lot. I mean, we say things like this. I hope to see you. I hope it doesn't rain, or in this case, snow, or give us a tornado. I hope that we get good news. I hope that you feel better. I hope that you like what I gave you. I hope that you will find Jesus Christ. We say hope a lot. And oftentimes when we say it, I hope that we mean it, but what we're saying is this. We're saying, I just wish that something would happen that's positive. You know, secular hope is different than spiritual or scriptural or Christian hope that we talk about today. It's interesting because secular hope is essentially wishful thinking. But spiritual or scriptural or Christian hope is confident expecting. Secular hope says it could. But scriptural, spiritual, godly hope says it can. Hope is what we need today. Hope is what we long for today. Regarding secular hope, Dr. Gene C. says this about that. He says, in the thought of Plato, the great philosopher, a man's hopes are the images that he forms for himself of his future. He draws mental pictures of what the future will be, and he wishes that the future will be this way. Man creates, says Plato, his own hopes. Now, I got to be honest with you. I got to take a little bit of exception to that. Because as smart as Plato was, I'm not sure we create our own hopes. As a matter of fact, when I think about it, I realize that God is the author and the creator and the giver of our hope. In fact, today we recognize that God, especially on this first Sunday of Advent, that God truly is the one that gives us hope. So what's the difference between secular and scriptural hope? Let me give you an example of this. Here's an example of secular hope. A man, 78, just like John, in perfect health, decided to join a retirement center. The first day, he noticed a lady watching his every move everywhere he went. And everywhere he went, she stared. The second day was the same. The third day was even worse. He just couldn't take it anymore. Curiosity got the best of him, so he finally got the courage, and he went up to her and he said, "Ma'am, why do you stare at me all the time?" She was embarrassed that he asked, but she couldn't help it. She says, "Sir, you look exactly like my fourth husband." The man then asked, "How many times have you been married?" And the lady quickly replied, 3. It'll take you a while, right? That's going to take a few minutes. Wishful thinking, right? There's your secular hope. Folks, our hope has to be more than wishful thinking. It has to be confident, faithful expecting, which means that it is originated by and through our faith. I love Hebrews 11:1. If you say, I want to know more about faith, what does the Bible say about faith? Go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is a chapter that's oftentimes denoted as the Faith Hall of Fame. But in the first verse, you get a really good idea of what faith is. It says, what is faith? It's the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It's the certainty, listen to this, it's the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we can't see it up ahead. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:21, he says, your trust can be in God, who raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. Now your faith and hope can rest in him alone. The Apostle Paul had something to say about it too. He says in Galatians 5, verse 5, he says, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. In essence, hope stems or comes from faith. They are related. They correspond and they are related in a way that sometimes we don't even think about. You see, without faith, rarely do we have hope. But with faith, we understand this thing called hope. And when we believe in Jesus, and when we love Jesus, and when we live for Jesus, we are fed by faith, and then we are filled with hope. My question is, don't we want that kind of hope, especially today? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:13, he says there are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. You see, love for God and faith in God gives us an incredible amount of hope from God. This is its advent. That's how it comes. That's how it arrives. That's how it appears. The Bible clearly states that God is hope, Romans 15:13, but it's not done. The Bible also clearly states that Jesus is our only hope, Colossians 1:27, and that together they give us hope, 2 Thessalonians 2:16, of which we do not deserve. Now, if anybody says, but I feel like I deserve some kind of hope, and many people will, at the end of the day, we don't deserve anything. The beauty of it is God gives us everything. And when we choose to believe in Jesus Christ, and when we choose to live for him and love him, we are not only strengthened by faith, but we are given an incredible amount of hope. Is it any wonder why David said in Psalm 39:7, he says, my only hope is in you, and he was talking about God. Paul called Jesus in 1 Timothy 1:1 his only hope. When the world disappoints, our hope in the Lord and his word never does. So let's face it, folks. We can be, and we actually might be, disappointed and disenchanted and hurting and struggling, and even many of you would say barely surviving today, personally, physically, financially, spiritually, today. Our faith might be weakening, our love might be waning, and thus, in many ways, our hope today is dwindling. We might want an advent of hope, because today, we're not thinking about Advent. We're just thinking about our adversity. Folks, where's your hope? When you come into this building today, when you worship God today, do you have hope today? Job, perhaps no mere man has ever struggled more. As a matter of fact, if you don't know the story of Job, you will quickly learn about his demise. He lost his health, he lost his wealth, and he lost his family. Yet in Job 19:25 through 27, he says these words, and before I read them, let me set this up, because so often we tend to disassociate ourselves with Scripture, so let's make it real, because I think we need to make it real. So often we say, that's old stuff, that doesn't apply anymore. It certainly doesn't apply to me, and let me tell you how it applies to you. Let's empathize with Job. For a moment, I want you to imagine that your wonderful family is no longer a healthy family. I want you to imagine that your family is gone. I want you to imagine that not only do you lose your family and not only do you lose your home, but you lose your health. You're diagnosed with a terminal illness in which you'll not overcome it. You'll succumb to it. I want you to imagine for a moment that not only have you lost your health and not only have you lost your family, but you've lost everything in your bank account as well. Your savings, your retirement, everything that you've been working for is gone. That's Job. Now that we understand that, now that we can obviously empathize with that, let's see what Job says. He says in chapter 19, 25 through 27, as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. This body shall see God. Listen to these words. He says, what a glorious hope. Now I ask you, how could Job have hope? Would we have that kind of hope? You see, you have your Job moments. You might be in a Job moment right now, and we don't like our Job moments. We don't like being in it. And I don't know what your struggle is, and I don't know what your pain is, and I don't know what your difficulty is, but you might be today going through a Job moment. And you might even have said, I'm starting to lose hope. You see, it's interesting because Job's love for God and his faith in God produced a hope from God. Paul says in Philippians 4:7, he calls it, he says it's something that transcends our understanding. You see, many people are going to meet you, they're going to see you, they may even know the struggles that have been falling you, and they'll say, how do you do it? I don't know how you do it. Because we do that, right? We read the passage of Job, we say, how did he do it? And I'm hoping that like Job, you'll say, let me tell you how I do it. Let me show you, like Danny Gokey has, and people before us. Let me show you how I do it. Because let me tell you, I can't do it without Jesus helping me through it. That's your hope. And it stems from your faith. That's what God does. His power is amazing. In Lamentations 3, verses 21, 22, 24, and 26, Jeremiah, the man who wrote the book and prophesied of the captivity and the destruction of Jerusalem that was coming, said this in these four verses. And before we get there, let's set the table. A lot of people say, man, that doesn't apply. That's too old. That doesn't work for me anymore. Let me tell you how it will work for you. So let's just set this up. Jeremiah was called to go and prophesy to his people. His people were going to be sacked. They were going to be destroyed. They were going to be taken captive. They were going to be killed by a Babylonian exile that was coming. Jeremiah was called to go out and warn the people. And so in Lamentations, we read about the fact that Jeremiah is struggling with this. He's hurting from this. And so let's make it real for us today. Can you imagine for a moment someone comes on the scene, you're watching whatever news source you prefer and choose to watch, and you're watching the news and someone comes in and they say, this guy's an expert, and he says that this time next year, our United States will no longer be standing. You're going to lose your homes. You're going to lose your church. You will be taken captive. You might lose your family, and your life is threatened. And that's exactly what Jeremiah was telling his people. It was going to be bad. Now listen to this, because this is what Jeremiah says. In that passage, Jeremiah says this. He says there's one ray of hope. His compassion, meaning God's, never ends. My soul claims the Lord as my inheritance, and therefore, says Jeremiah, I will hope in him. It is good to both hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Now, many people would say, Jeremiah, how can you do this? How can you feel like this? And Jeremiah was thinking, because I know God has got this. That's hope. You see, Job had that kind of hope, and Jeremiah had that kind of hope because they knew that God is the author and the creator of all hope. The invaders were coming. Jeremiah knew it. His hope should have been leaving. It didn't. You see, you've been invaded, folks. It happens every day. You're invaded by sin, and you're invaded by pain. You're invaded by struggles. You're invaded by other bad people. And every day you have to face it, and every day you have to deal with it. And those invaders make their way into your life, and I don't know what they look like because your life is different than my life, but at the end of the day, those invaders are difficult to live with every day. And Jeremiah says, it's all good. It's all good. I know the invaders are coming. I'm telling you, all the invaders are coming, but I'm not worrying because I know that God gives me hope. Today we have hope. Has our hurt extinguished our hope? Have we lost sight of God's love for us and forgotten our faith that's in Jesus? Have you begun to use or utter, and I pray that it hasn't come to this, but it might have come to this, and we might have said this. Have you started to utter or use the word hopeless? Because, folks, when we start using that word, that's when we know it's serious. Paul says in Romans 5, 3 through 5, he says this. He says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they're good for us. They help us to learn to be patient, and patience develops strength of character in us and helps us to trust God more each time we use it until finally our hope and faith are strong and steady. Then when that happens, we're able to hold our heads high no matter what happens and know that all is well. For we know how dearly God loves us, and we feel this warm love everywhere within us because God has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Paul understood hope. See, Paul was a man who struggled himself. Now, his love and our faith fuel Christian hope. In essence, folks, there is a purpose for your pain. You do not have to be overcome by your sin. Today, in this little rural town in the middle of nowhere, you've been given hope. Dr. Theology Edgar James says this about that. He says, since God will not fail the believer, the question becomes, will the believer's faith fail the Lord? The apostle answers this important question that we just read by showing what adversity in life produces in the believer. He is to glory in tribulation, says James, because out of them he receives hope and something extra. Tribulation brings patience, and patience produces an added feature, the believer's approved character. This is the something extra. Some may think that tribulation would cause the believer to lose his faith. Actually, says James, it strengthens it. Trials in the life of the believer produce an approved character, and this, in turn, produces hope. End quote. So I'm going to introduce you to a few people. We've had an interesting week. Some would say it's been a difficult week. There was a lady that used to come to this church all the time. Her name was Dorothy Starkey. Dorothy was an amazing lady. Dorothy had a sense of humor. Oh, man, she would play the piano. If you think Velma moves fast, she would polish the seat with her rear end. She'd be moving all over that seat. I used to laugh. Dorothy would always look up when she was playing. She'd always smile at me like, "You liking this? Oh, I'm liking this." Dorothy was crazy. So Dorothy was called into the hospital about probably 3 weeks ago, I'm thinking, and I got a call to go in and visit her, and so I went in and spent some time with her. And so many of you, if you missed the story, so Dorothy said, "I've been waiting to see you." She said, "I've got something for you." And she said, "I'm going to give this to you, and it's going to be a reminder. When I'm gone from this earth, you'll always think of me." And so she, I said, "Well, Dorothy, I'm dying to see this." She said, I've been waiting for this moment for a long time. She said, "This is it." She says, "I want you to have this." And she said, "Do you know what this is?" I said, It's a watch." And she said, "It's not just a watch." She said, "It is a watch that I want you to put up at the pulpit at Covell Community Church. And every time you preach, I want you to look at it. And if, in fact, you're going late, I want you to think about me and me staring at you and getting mad at you for running late." And there it is, folks. There it is. See, now you have assurance you're not going to be here all day, right? Thank you, Dorothy. So Dorothy went home. And so Dorothy went back to the hospital. And Dorothy said, "I went into the room," and she said, and she did not look as comfortable. She was in a lot of pain. And she said, "Chad, do you know what they've said?" I said, "I do not know what they've said." And she said, "I'm terminal." I said, "Well, that means two of us are." She said, "I think I'm more terminal than you." And I said, "Possibly. Who knows?" She said, "They've told me I'm not leaving." She said, "I'm not getting out of here." She said, "It could be days and it could be weeks. We don't know." And she said, "You want to know something, Chad? I don't care." She said, "I have hope." She said, "I lay here in this hospital bed and I smile at all the things that God was able to show me and I was allowed to do." She said, "I can look up at the ceiling and count the circles." And she said, "These people think I'm nuts, but I find joy in the smallest things." And she said, "I truly today can tell you that I have hope." 4 days later, she went to be with her Lord in heaven. My last conversation with Dorothy Starkey is one of the greatest conversations I've ever had in a hospital room. Why was it so good? A woman who was in incredible pain and suffering. Let me tell you why. Because Dorothy Starkey had hope. Let me introduce you to another lady. She's new to our church. She's been here for a few months. Her name is Carol John. Carol John's a great lady. Carol John was recently diagnosed with breast cancer. Carol John has a daughter that lives out on the East Coast. And so she decided to go to the East Coast to receive treatment and live with her daughter during this time. So Carol went with her son. They drove out to the East Coast. She's at Johns Hopkins University getting treated for breast cancer. Here's what happened. We've been praying for Carol, as many of you have. We know this. Carol sent an email to the Covell Community Church email address, and it says this. This was sent on November 25th. This sermon was percolating, as they say. When she sent this, we knew that it was the right thing to do. Here's what she says. In the email, she says, "Thank you for being the body of Christ that lifts each other up." And then she put this passage in, 2 Corinthians 1:10. "On him we have set our hope." Now the good news is this. Carol got an amazing, amazing piece of news regarding her surgery. It went well. She's doing better. She's healing quickly. And we're excited and we're impacted by her great news. Now let me tell you something. Not at any time, in any place, did I ever feel like that Carol John had no hope. Carol John was positive and confident and assured in the hope that God would give her and that he would be with her and that he would help her. It's an amazing thing. Let me introduce you to two more people. Their names are Cork and Bonnie Thompson. Two of the best people that I've ever known. Now, many of you know that Cork is struggling through esophageal cancer. He's been through a lot of difficult things. Recently, he was taken back down this week to St. Louis for surgery at Barnes Hospital, and it was serious surgery. But prior to that, on Saturday, last Saturday, we were at his grandson's wedding. And when they sat the grandparents, we were sitting in the back row, surprise, surprise, so we could see everything happening. And when they seat Cork and Bonnie, they walk in with smiles on their faces. and they are filled with joy in their hearts. And if you see the Facebook pictures, you can tell that those two wonderful people were enjoying their time spent with family and rejoicing in the fact that they have a blessed and beautiful family. Now let me tell you something. Only a few days later, he was going in for serious and major surgery. Let me ask you, how were they smiling? How were they rejoicing? And I can tell you, it's because Cork and Bonnie Thompson are filled with faith and they have hope. You see, hope's an amazing thing, folks. It helps us. It transcends us beyond our own pain and misunderstanding to a place of comfort and understanding. Our comfort and our hope that comes from God, it is so rooted in faith that we see beyond the current situation and we see the promise of heaven. Hope helps us to get through our difficult situations. You see, for each one of those individuals, the certain hope of being saved was an anchor for their soul, Hebrews 6:19. Do we remember what the angel Gabriel told the questioning and wondering and confused and curious Mary? It's Christmas time. We should talk about this. Luke 1:37, the angel Gabriel says this. He says, "For with God, Mary, for with God, nothing shall be impossible." I love this passage. I'm a sports guy. Romans 8:31, if God is for us, sounds like we're in a locker room. If God is for us, who can be against us? Don't we want this advent? Do you not want this coming, this appearing, this arriving of hope? Don't we long to say, "I know so," instead of "I hope so"? An ever-growing faith in Jesus and love for Jesus allows this biblical and spiritual and Christian hope to come to us. Paul calls it in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, the happy hope of salvation. And when it comes, our hope in this life will grow and increase even during the most difficult times in life because of our certainty and our confident assurance of our coming eternal life. Our Lord and His Word will overcome the dread and the pain and the fear of this world. George Washington Carver once said this. He says, "Where there is no vision, there is no hope." Is our vision today on heaven? The prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 40, verses 27 through 31 of our sermon text, and folks, if you don't know this passage, many of you are sitting here thinking, "Wait a second, I know Isaiah 40, 31. If you visit an office and there's a believer in that office, oftentimes you will look up at the wall and you will say Isaiah 40, 31. It is one of the most popular Old Testament passages in Scripture. Let's get through it, with starting with verse 27. Here's what it says. "Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall." Here it goes, folks, verse 31. "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Folks, that's hope. And not everyone has it, and not everyone will experience it. In 1 Corinthians 15:19, a passage that I read oftentimes in my funeral services that I do, Paul says, "If being a Christian is of value to us only now in this life, we are the most miserable of creatures." You know what Paul's saying? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, if the only hope that we have in this life is this world, we're miserable people. And yet believers today know that there's more than what meets the eye regarding this world. Our hope's not in this world. Our hope is in His Word. Our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in a heavenly home that supersedes and transcends everything that we understand and know here. So what do we do in this world? We help, we love, we serve, we give, we offer hope. That's how we do it. You see, an unbeliever's hope is a secular hope. It's wishful thinking with roots in the world, not the Lord and not His Word. And while a believer's hope is eternal, an unbeliever's hope is terminal. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:3, "We live in the hope of eternal life." That strengthens our hope in this life. What does the unbeliever have? You ever wonder that? Feel bad about that? As Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 regarding the unbeliever, he says he has no hope. He says in Ephesians 2:12, remember that in those days you were living utterly apart from Christ. You were enemies of God's children, and he had promised you no help. He says you were lost without God, without hope. It should break our heart that there are people out there who don't believe in Jesus and who don't need Jesus and have no hope that would come from Jesus. Is it any wonder why Solomon said in Proverbs 13:12, he says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And many sick people with broken hearts have no hope because they still have a sinful, unrepentant heart. They're waiting for that advent, that coming, that arrival of hope, for hope to come. But when it comes to coming to the altar, they won't go. No hope. As Isaiah 40:31 tells us, the hopeless are faint, and they are weary, and they are weak. So how are the hopeless and the hurting and the unbelieving actually reached? How can we help them experience an advent or a coming of hope? Verse 31, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. How do we show them hope? We must be the hopeful examples who show them the eternal. Even when we are hurting and grieving and seemingly losing, we will be the ones to show them a hope that is eternal, not terminal. You see, it's one thing for us to have hope, but it's a wholly different thing when we're the ones that are going out and sharing the hope. It's another thing when you see someone, that's why we showed you the Danny Gokey video. It's another thing when you see someone who's living a life that's hopeless and you say, I think I can help you. And we do it, we love, we serve, we give because we have an incredible love for Jesus. That's what we do. We look at people who are hurting and we say, I want you to be hoping. It's all about loving. We sacrifice our lives and we sacrifice our time and we do it, folks, because we want to offer the people that we love so much, we want to give them hope. It's not a secret, folks, and it certainly is something that has to be shared. This is what we are called to share. This is the hope. In our love, by our faith, and through our hope, we will show those people strength that comes from God and a confidence and assurance that comes from a relationship, not a religion, rather a relationship, a deep and growing relationship with Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:16, Paul says this. He says, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our inner strength in the Lord is growing every day. Disciples, folks, disciples become examples. And examples help people. That's what we're called to do. We are called to exemplify Jesus. Jesus, the author, giver, creator of all hope. I ask you this today. Are you hurting? Are you grieving and struggling and questioning? The greats in God's word did too. Moses did. Job did. Jeremiah did. And Elijah did. Let God's strength strengthen your faith. That's where we start. Let God's eternal home give you hope. And allow for an advent, a coming, an appearing, an arrival, even a renewal of heart and soul. You're not hopeless. You'll never be hopeless if you believe in and love and live for Jesus. So let his hope, his eternal, never-ending hope, fill your heart. And may we run to the weary, and may we walk to the faint. And I pray that we will soar before our Savior as we reveal him to all of them. You have hope? We today have hope. Now let us show the lost and the unsaved that hope from Jesus before it's too late and before it's actually hopeless. Today is an amazing day, folks, because today marks the beginning of Advent. Today is a succession of incredible Sundays that are going to be celebrated right here at Covell Community Church, and we're going to be celebrating. Because of Jesus coming, because of his advent, we are given an amazing hope. We're going to go before the Lord with our pastoral prayer, and folks, as we do this, Remember, we did purge our list. If you say, where'd all the people go? They are indeed. Did we purge the list, Cam? I see names on there. Did we not purge? Unless I have an old... Is that right? We didn't purge. Oh, general concerns are. Yeah, there's a cancer. Okay, good. These people that have cancer, pray for every one of them. Cork is still in the hospital. He's recovering. For those who have general concerns and those general concerns, we purge the list. But remember, there's a lot of people that have needs, and I ask and I pray that you will continue to pray for them. We're going to reveal those names. We'll bring those out through email. A lot of people that have needs. For those who had to suffer through tornadoes last night, and by the way, if you didn't hear, Taylorville was ravaged. The damage is extensive. 100 people were injured. It's a terrible situation in Taylorville, that's south of Decatur. We're going to pray for those individuals today, and especially for those who are struggling and dealing with all kinds of uncertainty and difficult situations regarding life every day that they're here. We pray for them. If you want to join us here at the altar, please feel free to come forward now as we join the Lord in our pastoral prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you today for reminding us of the hope that you provide us who believe in and love and live for Jesus. Father, I pray that you will change us from the inside out. Take away our sinful nature. Take away those things that keep us further and further away from you. I pray today that we will trust your word. And I pray today that we will live by your word. It is what guides us. It's what leads us. It is the perfect source of all of our information and the details of how we should live our lives. Father, I pray today that we'll love like Jesus. And I pray that we'll live like Jesus. And I pray that we will give others our time and our love and our service and our help. Father, I pray today that you would develop in us a deep and lasting and long relationship with your son, Jesus. To those who do not know Jesus and to those who say, I have no hope, use us, I pray. Make us the vessels. Make us the messengers and help us to go take the message of hope to those who are out there who are struggling and hurting. I pray that you will bless and help and fill our missionaries and those who are going all over the world to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and the salvation that's offered through him. I pray today that you'll empower them and fill them, and I pray that you will give them the ability to share the good news and the message of hope that comes from your word. Help us to never stray from it, I pray. Help us to be strengthened by it, I pray. For every single person on our bulletin and for those names that we talked about earlier, for the Starkey family, for Cork and Bonnie and for their family, for Carol John and her family, and for every single person in this church today that's struggling and dealing with all kinds of things that are befalling them, I pray that you'll help them. Father, we have hope that you will hear this prayer and that you will guide them and deliver them from their time of pain and struggle and suffering. Thank you for the hope that you give us. When good news comes, when we're able to see this good news, the answer, prayers and miracles, and the testimonies that come forth, let there be testimonies. And I pray today, Father, that there will be worship. We give you all the praise and the thanksgiving that's due you because you're due all of it. We don't deserve anything, and yet you give us everything. Father, convict our hearts today. Help us to leave our sins behind. And I pray today that you would help us to be new creatures, changed in a moment by the power of the Holy Spirit who cleanses us and fills us. And I pray today that we will be saved by faith through your grace. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray today. Amen. You know, I think one of the greatest things that we can offer our fellow man is hope. And every place you go, if you see somebody that's hurting or struggling, trying to make it through a day, I pray that we will be the ones that come from this Covell Community Church and give all of those people hope. If we got it, we got to share it. And that's what God calls us to do. Praise God that he shares it with us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Christmas season, the advent of hope, and the coming of our Lord and Savior and your Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. That's what we celebrate, the world's greatest and biggest birthday party. And for that, we're grateful. Father, I pray that you'll go with us and help us today. Where we go to work and where we go to school and when we return to our homes and when we see our family and our friends and whomever we meet and see, I pray today that we will resemble you. Of you. And I pray today that you would help us to show everyone that we meet Jesus. And I ask it according to your will. Thank you for the love that emanates from this church. And thank you for the love that comes from you. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.